last time we started talking about the reason for the tzimtzum, the reason for the contraction. You know, many people thinking the tzimtzum is almost like kind of a thing that happened because the vessel say no. It's a procedure that took a place. But it's more important to remember that the whole thing's happening for a very specific reason, and please remember it again and again and again. And I will read it in Hebrew so we can all benefit from it. The purpose of the vessel saying no to the light was nothing more than being like the light. Because the vessel made from light. If you're thinking about what is the vessel made from, light. Just the vessel has a different intelligence, have a different desire. What does the vessel want? To receive. What does the light want? To give. Now, what was the vessel made from? Light. So the vessel cannot help itself, it has to give. Bottom line, the vessel has to give. But it can give. So now we're stuck between, I'm being the vessel, I've been created only to receive, but I can't give to anyone. I can only receive. So that by itself create a bit of an issue. Why did it create the issue? Because the light want to give, vessel meant to receive, but the vessel DNA is only one thing, sharing. And that's why when we've been created as human, we have this paradox within us. We have these two forces living in the same time within us. We have a force, which is the soul, which is only wanted to give, and we have the part that's called the body, that it's only meant or want to receive. And the idea is, the war, you know, today I had the privilege to talk to two people about bringing peace to Venezuela and to Syria and to the Middle East. And I shared that one of the things that we need to do first is to have peace internally. And it's very difficult, you know, people try to have peace with the wife, with the husband, with the brother, with the sister. Now it's Passover, so people try to be together. People try to forgive. But in the end of the day, the true peace starts internally, which is very, very difficult because the body and the soul don't get along. The body refused to give and the soul refused to be inside the body. And that's why the soul wants to leave the body every day, by the way. The soul wants to leave the body every day to die. Every day. Every day the soul wants to leave the body. Why? Because the soul don't see any purpose of staying. What's the purpose of my staying in this body that anyway is going to die? Why? What's the purpose of this soul staying inside something that is not endless? Something which is finite. The idea is to get into a place that we have peace with inside. So what do? It's called tzimtzum. You got to remember that word tzimtzum. So Rabbi Ashlag explains something very unique. The vessel want to know what is entitled purpose. What is the purpose? If you don't know your purpose in life, you're basically doomed. You're not going to do very well. If you don't know what you came here to do, you're either going to do something just to survive. Most people wake up in the morning to go to work. Why? Because they have to eat or they have to sleep. They have to do something. So the paradox of life is that the body has to move so much for the sake of the rest. So if you look at life, life is a paradox. I got to create 1,000 type of movement for a rest. So nobody really want to go to work. When people tell you, I enjoy going to work. I enjoy making money. I enjoy. Something is off with those people. If their purpose is to make money or to work, we got to find out what's wrong with them. Because the purpose of the soul is to rest. Rest means no movement. There's not supposed to be a movement for the soul. Okay? So let's say your rest is to go to work. Some people say, I'm resting when I go to work. So those people don't know how to rest yet. Because the concept of being rest, menucha, right? Like Shabbat. Shabbat called menucha. But most people translate Shabbat like something that you're supposed physically to rest. Shabbat means that the soul allowed to rest. That's why the soul are very happy on Shabbat. Okay? But you move a lot on Shabbat. You walk, you're going, you're praying, you're doing, you're eating, you're cutting. You're doing a lot of movement. But the essence of Shabbat is menucha, is rest. Now, what was the purpose of creating the vessel? We don't even ask that question. Why would you do that? Why would the light need a headache to create a vessel, to create tzimtzum, then a bread of shame? Right? It's a good question. Why we need even to go there? Why we need even to go into this procedure that in the end the Messiah will come, everybody will be happy, we clap the hand and we say it was a good show? What is this? I mean, look how much people suffer. They're throwing a bomb here, they're throwing this here, everybody killing each other, and for what? Well, what's the purpose? And we are watching it to say, well, it's to earn it. It's a bread of shame. We come up with some religious answer. Lately, religion is down. The stock, if you look at the stock market, religion is down and spirituality is up. So everybody want to talk about something. You say, no, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. It's sell better. It's not that they're spiritual. It's just sell better. That's it. So now spirituality went down in the last 3 years. So now people are using a new word, technology. Because if you say spirituality, it might sound like religion. Forget it. Let's say technology. We're done with technology now. I don't know what's coming next. I feel we're going back here. So we need to know what's going on. And then you decide what you want to call it. It doesn't matter what you call the baby. You need to know what's the purpose. What's your purpose? What was your purpose of creation? Where are you going from here? What are you born here to live, to die, have a good tombstone on your grave and goodbye? I mean, is that the purpose of life? Okay, at least we know. We're born in some neighborhood and we end up in some piece of land that costs so much money in the end, right? And some people take your whatever left from you. They're fighting over it. They want to kill each other for that. And that's life. I mean, I've been in my profession for 30 years. That's all what I see every day. Either I give birth to a baby, do a brit, either a wedding, either a burial. And every time I see, is it the purpose? Can't be. It just can't be that that's a purpose. So that's why if a human being born to this world, and specifically I hope you hear this lecture, and have no clue what they're doing here, it's like it's a waste of time. So you go to work to make money. Why you want to make money? If money becomes your purpose, something is off. It's off. You're missing the whole point. If you only love spirituality and you don't love money, something is off too. Both is off. You're going to find out always the purpose of the creator and then take it from the purpose of the creator into, am I doing it? So let's see what Rav Ashlag said. The purpose of everything, the vessel want to have an affinity, it's called, Ashvaat Atzura, affinity with the light, על ידי בריאת העולמות, to create the world that we're living in, the world above. What does that mean? To create something new that called desire to receive for the sake of sharing. It sounds like something we heard thousands of years, and we still don't get it. What does that mean to create something new? Desire to receive for the sake of sharing. Meaning, to create ability to receive everything that the light want to give me, only for the sake that I'm receiving it, to give pleasure to the one who's giving, to be like we discussed last class. כי כל הרצון הוא רק להשפיע נחת רוח ליוצר ברוך הוא ולא צריך עצמו כלם. A person, a human, an animal, a tree, a creation, has to reach a level that whatever I receive for one reason, is only to give a pleasure to the one that created me. If something else is happening, I miss the whole point. So now I know my purpose. Am I doing my purpose every day when I wake up? Is every cake that I'm eating, is every compliment I'm getting, is every penny I'm making, I absolutely know first it's from the Creator? 100%. That's first question. Second question, do I do the tzimtzum? Do I say, no, I don't want that penny, I don't want that cake, I don't want that attention, I don't want that compliment. Third, after I do all of that, now do I say, I know that the Creator want to give it, and he asked me to be the receiver, so what can I do? I have to be the receiver, to receive it, to give a pleasure to the Creator. Those are the three stages of every part, everyone who's part of this creation. And if we're not doing it, we are missing the whole point. So whenever you go and make billions, or whatever you go and being spiritual guy on the mountain, or being Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. Matter that you understand it. If you understand it, then go practice your religion. Go practice your spirituality. Go practice your technology. Go do whatever you want. Go dance all day long at the club. That's your purpose. You feel, okay. If you are able to accomplish that thing, that's your goal. If you're missing that thing, even if you're wearing a yarmulke and the white clothes and tefillin and going a big cross, you're missing the whole point. Because could be that your religion or what you're praying to is not to God, it's not to the light, it's not to the mighty one. You're praying to your ego. Think about it. How many hours of your pray actually include God, please take back everything? How many part of your pray is tzimtzum? If there is any moment like that. Did you say, God, I think I have too much. Don't know what to do. I have to. Can you take it back? I think I'm doing a mistake here. I think I get paid $60,000 a year. Maybe it's not what I'm supposed to have. Can you please take it back? Or we say, hey, I'm getting 65. Can I have 270? So is that mean you're not allowed to ask for 1 million? You're allowed to ask even for 1 billion. Depends where you come from. That's all. That's the whole secret. If you come from the right place, you're allowed. If you understand the purpose of creation, you're allowed. So sometimes I see people, and because of my new position, I'm visiting a lot of place of prayer, a lot of synagogue, and I'm watching people. And I feel sad for them. I used to judge them years ago. So God gave me that gift to go into their territory to see what's going on. So instead of judging them, I start seeing them. I start feeling their pain. And I see what they're going through. They have no knowledge. It's very sad, and I'm not judging. I'm not coming from a place of seeing it from above. I'm with them now, whatever it is, the place I pray, synagogue, whatever you want to call it. So I'm there, and Blaine and I have the merit to know all the kavanot, all the meditation for everything. So I'm sitting, and I'm in pain watching it. I'm watching them, good people. What a soul. Tell you, righteous. Potential of being righteous, every one of them. So there is this guy is Israeli. God bless his soul. I hope one day I have the merit to teach him. And what a wonderful human being. Wonderful, wonderful human being. And he come to me, he said to me, white clothes, what's going on? This, Kabbalah. So I start talking to him. He said, Leo, you know, I blocked myself from study Kabbalah. I said, why? Why? He said, one time I went to Tzfat. I want to experience that. I went into one of those synagogues to study. All of a sudden, the rabbi started talking about circle and line. The line went up, the circle went down. I said, oh my God, I think I'm going crazy, goodbye. And I said, I'm begging you to give me a chance. Now why? So my son heard me. So my son heard me, why are you begging a student? I said, because it's a merit for a teacher to be able to take a soul and give the soul the purpose. And then from that point on, he can make his decision. Once he understands that, he's done, he's over. Once you understand that, just this paragraph, you already understand everything about life. Everything. Every single thing about life. Whatever you do. It doesn't matter what religion you are, that's the main point. That's why when I go usually to Israel, to the grave of Rav Ashlag, which I'm going to go this year, Bezrat Hashem, I'm getting very excited. There's nothing like it. What he did, what Rav Ashlag did, is nothing like it. So you go like that. כי כל הרצון הוא רק להשפיע נחת רוח ליוצר ברוך הוא, ולא לצרכי עצמו כלום, ועל כן נשווה צורתו לגמרי עם האור עליון של המעציל, וניצם בדבוק ובתכלית הדבקות. בצד הבית אפשר לו להעמיק ולהגדיל את כלי הקבלה שלו עד הסוף, ואין תכלית כי אתה אינה צורת עושה שום שינוי צורה. So, now, what was the vessel purpose? You can call it vessel, you can call it כלי, you can call it container, whatever name you, that make your brain to remember that. But the main thing is like a container, a כלי. In the endless, it didn't look like a container. Remember, it looked like a dot. It only received from outside, not from inside. Remember the explanation, right? The last 2 weeks we explained the endless vessel only received from outside. That's why it's endless vessel. It received, it never end. But once it comes down to this world, it becomes like a container, only receiving from inside. But still, don't try to imagine a picture. It's just to help you to remember that. So it's saying, now, the light created a container, a receiver force. When the light containing that receiving force, that receiving force is try to have an affinity with the creator. So it has to be sharing. How do you make it sharing? How do you make a receiver a sharer? By saying, I don't want to receive first. First, you drop down your receiving force. Then you're elevating your receiving force into an endless level. How? By saying, I want everything because I want as much as I can to give pleasure to the one who's giving me. And now the receiving force doesn't make you any longer different from the light. Blessed be he. And that's why it's coming like a desire to share. It's no longer a desire to receive. It's almost like it's saying in the Talmud in Kiddushin. Talk about the wedding. When there is an important man in the wedding, go like this. The law, the Jewish law, in a wedding, usually that only the men give the ring. I hope you know it by now. That's why you see most Jewish men never wear a ring. You ever ask yourself why men don't wear a ring? Nobody even tell you that, right? Why is men not wearing a ring? If the man is being suspicious that he, like other women, he need to wear a ring. Just for that reason, maybe. But men not need to wear a ring. Why is that? Why is that? It's very important. Because the woman representing the container, the vessel, and the man representing the sharing. So the man is the one who's supposed to give the ring. That's always, he's the one who give it. And by the woman receiving it, she's receiving it not because she won the ring. That's how it's supposed to be. She's receiving it to give a pleasure to the man to give. That's the entire relationship between male soul and female soul. Unfortunately, today is not like that. I hear women talk about some discussion that disgusts me. Discussion that disgusts me. What is discussion, the discussion that disgusts me the most since I moved to America is when women talk about the size of the diamond that the man gave them. So I did a women course one time and I asked them that question. I said, listen, I want you to know, it bothered me a lot. I did a lecture in Miami, in Soho House in Miami, if you know where it is, and it's next to the Fountain Blue. I gave a lecture to women only. I said, excuse me, I tell you, and in Israel it's also the same. They're also checking the size of the ring. I think they watched a video show, a TV show. And it's sad. Super sad. Oh my God, the ring he gave me is not big enough. The ring he gave me is very nice. He loved me now. He loved me. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that you want more than that. He get you, I don't know, what is a big diamond? 4 carat is the biggest? What would be like 4 carat? Yes, it's supposed to be big, right? It's supposed to be super big, right?
It's big, it's not big enough.
All right. Let's say 4 carat diamond. You're giving it. The receiver has to be able to say, I don't want it in their mind. It's a procedure. And then when they say, I don't want it, then they say, but that's the only way I can give a pleasure to the giver. So what do? I have to receive it. Right? I have to receive it. It's like the first year I'm married to Debbie, so it was the first month, I think. So I grew up with 3 sisters, so I knew makeup is kind of something is very important, but Debbie was not into makeup at all. She didn't believe in it. So I bought this box with, you know, 3 levels. You have it there, you have the thing there. Beautiful. Good price. It was good price. So, it's very cheap. It was one of those market things, and they close out one of the store in Westwood. So, I'm getting the thing, give it to her. I'm very proud of myself. She's receiving it, giving me such a pleasure. It was around Hanukkah. Oh my God, that's exactly what I need. She played it, huh? She played it like she liked it. But I felt good. Passover, we start cleaning the house. I found the old box, never been used. I'm looking like, what happened? You know, December till April, we talk about 4 months. My gift sitting there, alone. Maybe a touch, the thing you put on the eyes, maybe a touch of that. I told you I grew up only with the girls. So from this story, we learn that what we need to do as a receiver is to receive to give a pleasure to the giver. And that's why in the wedding, the woman has to act as the receiver. So you don't have to, I see sometimes people ask me to do wedding. So when I do wedding for them, they all the time give me two rings. If they ask me before the wedding and they come to meet with me, I tell them, better one ring, and that's how usually it works. If you're worried that he's cheating on you and that's because of the ring, I told them the ring can it's go off. It's not like the, what do you call it, Cartier, the one that they lock your what do you call it? You know what I'm talking about? The thing here, that lock. You have the key. Ooh, wow. Scary, this thing, right? So, you know what I'm talking about, the screw thing. Yeah. So the idea is the ring symbolizes many, many things. I don't want to mention everything because maybe we do a lecture just for relationship and love, so I'll teach you about it. But only one single thing. The receiver don't want anything, and then it will receive them. What do you do now? What do you do if the person is the most famous person, the man, and is the richest person in the world? What do you do then? So the Talmud asked this question. And Rav Ash like bringing it. And it say, what if her husband is super rich and super famous? Look what it say. Ivan Shadam Khash, I Anna de Bekabel Mine. He has no pleasure to give the ring. Because he's so rich, the ring means nothing. Right? He's worth $25 billion. He buy a ring that costs $1 billion, mean nothing. Here is an airplane, put it on your head or something, right? Private jet, take it. Mean nothing. You understand? $50 million mean nothing. So now what do? The chashuv kmo netina mamash. Ayin shabat evare shehakabala al menat lashpia hi netina velo kabala. Ki al ken adam chashuv mekabel mena kesef, dumei kmo shenoten la kesef. So it say, the Talmud ask about it, and the Talmud say, in this case, she is to be the one who giving him something. So when she give him something, by him receiving it, he's become the giver. Do you understand the trick here? So now it's all depends because the idea of now he become the receiver because it's almost like a father. Let's say Picasso, you have Picasso. His son come and draw a nice picture for his father. Now Picasso, by him receiving from his son his picture, some drawing, that will be a giving. For Picasso to give a picture to his son, it's obvious because it's like, you know, nothing going on there. והווה כמה שאומר בתורה, ונתן בידה, מטעם שהוא מקבל רק כדי להשפיע נחת רוח אל האישה, שתתכבד על ידי קבלתו. So, we learned something very important about our purpose here. Our purpose as a human being, as a vessel, we are, that's the sound of a vessel, we are receiving. How you receive, that's determine your life. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or you're Jew, you're Muslim, whatever it is. It matters before you start an event, before you start an organization, before you start anything, before you start writing anything. Stop. Why do I want to do that? If it's only to receive for me only, I might enjoy in the beginning, but I might suffer in the end. That's the procedure of life. Why? Because I create this affinity between me and the light. The light is only about giving. So you're going to find the giving in every situation. Every situation has to be a giving. Sometimes sharing is not giving. Sometimes receiving is the ultimate giving. Many people think only share, only share, only share, only share, only share. No. If you marry, let's say, to a man who just take everything for themselves, selfish, and there is 12 slices of pizza, they already ate about 8 slices, right? There's 4 left. Okay, 3, your son took, now you're left with 1 slice, you're about to take it, your husband taking it. You open his hand, and you take the last slice of pizza. That will be sharing, if you did it with the right consciousness. If you are angry with your husband, it's receiving. You both lost. So, to determine how to bring love into the house is not necessarily always to give. Sometimes receiving is actually sharing. But it's all here. It's very difficult. It's the work itself is very difficult. Example. I'm a Sephardic man. So I like, the ego is all about how things look on the outside. For example, I grew up the father that say even your clothes are not new. If you don't have money for clothes, you need to have enough money for food. So the table of guests coming are always full with food. That's to impress people, right? I mean, it's the ego. of a Sephardic Jew. You know, you gotta have it large, like Italian, you know, large, everything large. But there is ego there. As much as we're sharing and we give everybody everything and all this and that, we need to find out, am I coming from sucking their energy so they will like me? Or am I coming from a place that I truly care about them? You understand? It's all day long. You gotta check what you're doing. You pay the bill, right? 20 people come to eat, you pay the bill, right? $2,000. So such a nice, everybody said to you, oh my God, you're such a nice person. Such a nice person. Such a nice, you took their opinion. You stole their opinion now. It's all day long. Why am I doing what I'm doing? That's why it's daka, charity, that nobody know you gave. It's one of the highest level. And people don't know. People don't know what you did. I told you one of the times that I want to punish a rich man, very wealthy man, was super cheap. So his wife asked me to teach him a lesson. I said, I would love to. I'm Scorpio. I love to teach people a lesson. I told you the story, right? I went to the most expensive restaurant in New York. Something that just to walk in. Now, I talked to the owner. I talked to the waiters. I arranged everything. That nobody bring the check. I'm taking care of everything. Now that rich man, if I order something a little bit more, he will go like, die. So, I played the whole time. It was the best dinner of my life. Debbie, you were there with me? Yes. No, you weren't. So I went with him and wife. There is a list. I said, can I see expensive scotch here? And, you know, some of the scotch are up there. And the gentleman, you know, looked at me. I said, you sure you want to drink now? I said, yeah. Tough day. So he bring. So you know what? He will be double, neat, no ice. And I see the guy like getting nervous already. You know, and he's comparing, think right away, he remembers everything, he's genius. Then I order, I said, maybe we start with some antipasto, we start with that. Now the order know what I'm doing, the waiters know what I'm doing, and they're both, they're having a good time with me. So they know me from helping some grandma, Sylvia, her name is Sylvia from Flatbush, Brooklyn. So they heard about me from there, and they happened to be in the restaurant. So I'm sitting there, and the owner having the time of his life, you know, he's the owner of a restaurant 22 years, it's unique. He loves it. Some other food and that, and the person doesn't talk. Stop talking. His wife talking and he's staring like, when is this going to be over? So we are about to leave. No check. So I'm taking it. I say, well, it's winter in New York, so we're going out. I say, wow, this is amazing. Thank you for spending the time with me. And then, so where's the check, man? Where's the check? This is supposed to be about $2,225. You know, So, don't worry about it. It's all good. So we go in and so what's going on? And then he realized that I took care of it. The guy is like dying. I'm talking about the person who has 5 buildings on Park Avenue, if you know Manhattan, you know, like super rich. And the beautiful, the owner of the restaurant come to my ears and whisper it and said, you're not paying a penny. You teach me the biggest lesson of my life. Penny I didn't pay. Just so you know how God work, you know, you have no idea how it work. And it's not the first time, by the way, I did it 3 times. All of the miracle after miracle. And I go and start crying. That cheap guy, he was suffering. He started crying so bad. And he woke up. I mean, the bad news, I have to tell you the real story. The bad news about this story, that he got such a spiritual awakening and he started helping people and sharing, then he decided to divorce his wife, actually. He divorced his wife. She has somebody else. He has somebody else. They're both happy. They friendly with each other, but they realize they are with the wrong connection. But why am I sharing this with you? Sometimes, not to give somebody to do something is a sharing too, because the lesson is more important than the money. Okay? So whenever you love someone, you really love someone, check if they truly sharing. But if you start preaching to them, that's already receiving. Because preaching means that you want them to know that it's you. If they know that it's you, then it's receiving. What's the point? You want to do it right. You want to do it right. You know? You want to do it right. This holiday on Pesach, somebody passed by here, our house, and I didn't see him for 21 years. Coincidence, somebody came in, on the Pesach while reading the Torah. They came out and they never come back. So what's going on? So they, I'm coming out to see if they're okay. Then it's happened to meet him. And we talk, we're having a good time. Then he complimented me on my diet. I didn't even remember that I lost weight. I didn't remember how did I look like, you know, when I met him. I said, Eliyahu, this is unbelievable. What did you do? And I realized something after I walk home. And I said to myself, you know, all those people knew me there. Nobody even said words to me. Everybody was, don't want to hurt me. I wonder if maybe they did say and I didn't want to listen. Can you imagine how many people try to talk to you about things that you should be changing? And maybe we block. We don't want to hear it because we get hurt, we get upset, we get embarrassed. And there is time for everything. The idea is when you talk to people you love, you have to come from a place of sharing. And don't give up just because you're afraid of them. Go after them. Sometimes you have to be tough on them. If it's for sharing, be tough. Be tough on them. It's okay. If it's for the sake of sharing, be tough because you're loving them. The Zohar said that it's allowed. The Torah says it's allowed. It's the mitzvah called Ochiach Tochiach Et Amitecha. You have to go to your friend and making sure to tell them they do something wrong. You have to. You must. It's part of sharing. But if you go to your friend and tell him you do something wrong and you try to preach to them, that's a receiving. You have to do it because you're loving them. And if you don't do it, it's considered a crime, by the way. If you see your friend doing something wrong and you don't tell them, it is absolutely 100% a crime because you're destroying them. You send them to hell and you make them reincarnate again. So if you know somebody is doing something wrong, why wouldn't you tell them? Why wouldn't you tell them? You know, I will tell an addict a question and I will ask him again every Friday. I say, are you drinking? And I know that he's drinking. And he knows that he's drinking. And his answer always, no, you're crazy. Every Friday, no, you're crazy. And then he throw up. Every Friday? I mean, how sick it is. Are you doing? Are you drinking? No! 2 hours later. Well, he woke up. 2.5 years after, he went to the 12th step, if you know what that program. And he started changing his life. He changed his life. He get married, find the soulmate. Everything started to change. You gotta bother people if you do it from love. You gotta bother them. Let them hate you. Why do you want them to like you? It's again to receive. If you want them to like you for what you say to them, that's it's about you. So that already make you away from the light. From other people. But if you do it from love. Only if you do it from love. The sharing has to be from love. If you see that they are doing tzimtzum, meaning they put the curtain down and they don't want to receive anymore, then you have to stop. Because then you are destroying them, you're not helping them. So it says, נמצא לפעמים בראש כל עיקר סיבת הצמצום. From here we learn the entire reason for the tzimtzum, the entire reason for the contraction, הייתה רק לסיבת החשק לצורה החדשה. Is to create something that wasn't there in the time of creation. Wasn't there, guys, wasn't there. What wasn't there? קבלה על מנת להשפיע. Desire to receive for the sake of influence, for the sake of giving, for the sake of helping. That was the entire purpose of creation. You have to remember that. Why are you here? Why are you making children? Why are you building a business? Why are you driving a car? Because in all those thousands area, you can practice desire to receive for the sake of sharing all day long. You go to work, opportunity. You drive, opportunity. Everything is opportunity all day long. And how are you doing? How are you doing? I had the privilege to talk to a radio show today. No, it didn't go live. And they asked me if I can go with them as a team. You will know about it soon after I close everything I need to close with them. So she's the owner of the 25 channels. And we had a good talk. I felt comfortable with her. And the idea, she felt comfortable with me. And I said, listen, how can I add to you and how you can add to me? How is that going to work together? And she said, I'm happy you asked that question exactly how it is. And she told me about her childhood, how she started the radio show. An amazing, amazing human being. Once I know more details, I will share it with you about the channel so you can listen to it as well. And it's 25 channels that only deal with spirituality. Global, all over the world. It's unbelievable. So I said, first, it's a privilege for me just starting an organization. I mean, you calling me. I mean, I'm little me. Thank you so much. You know? And what I'm trying to tell you, people, It's all about, I want it all, master of the world, God in heaven, I want it all, because I know how much pleasure it's giving you. So when you ask for a little, like Christian call it gluttony, Jewish call it the Jewish guilt, okay? A Muslim can call it haram, which means you shouldn't ask for too much, and they have another word for that. Today I studied that. There's another word that you shouldn't receive too much. All of those things was never created by God. It was created by human, by people who want to control the brain of people. That's how it works. It's to control your brain that you will not ask for too much. Ask for more. Ask for more. Never ask for less. Your problem was never because you ask too much. Your problem was always will be because you ask too little. That's why your life not moving the way it's supposed to be moving. You gotta ask more. You gotta double the amount of money you make. You gotta double the amount of love you receive. You gotta double the ability to do sport that you are making now. Everything has to double up. And yes, you need to be wanting money. Yes, you need to be wanting love. Yes, you need to be one. Because all of those things that I mentioned exist within God. Did God have enough money? Yes. God have enough love? Yeah. God have enough life? God have enough health? God have it all. See, if I don't ask for it, I'm blocking God from sharing what he want to share. And if I'm blocking God from sharing what he want to share, I'm like the bride who say, no. But the husband get pleasure to buy the expensive ring. For that reason, you're going to ask for a bigger ring. For that reason, you ask for a bigger ring. For that reason, you ask the creator for more. If you're asking the creator for a lot just because you don't have it, you create a short circuit, you create chaos in your life, you create problem. This is called gluttony. This is called the guilt. This is called the haram. This is called whatever name you want to call it. But if I want to do it because I know how much the creator want to give it to me, why not? Why not? If you ever work in a farm, I don't think some of you work in a farm. I did. If the cow will not give milk to the cow will not make it. It will die. It creates actually disease. Just to let you know, it's very dangerous. So remember, I told you that story 1,000 times. My friend, we served together in the army. We work in a farm. So unfortunately, in one of the times that he's milking the cow, it's in line. You have a line like from here to the door, and the cow's staying in line. So sometimes the cow, the tails go up, and you get something in your face from the cow in front. So he decided to punish that cow. There's a number of them, 498, 929. So he punished the cow, put it in the corner not to milk that cow. Evil, very evil. He was so angry because it's the worst picture you can imagine. It's funny, I saw his face on Facebook. I'm going to see him in Israel. I didn't see him for 32 years. So he had all pimples after that. He blamed the cow. He used to go to the cow and talk to her, actually, cursing her. He was so pissed. But then you truly realize that the cow suffer because the cow cannot give. God's purpose is to give you everything. So whenever you wish for something, let's say you wish for money. Let's say today you had a wish to make $1 million. It's because God has a wish to give you that $1 million. So I want it, he want it. Everybody's happy. Well, once you want it, you create a short circuit. You create a blockage between you and the creator. There is no infinity. There is this infinity. In the moment, you say, I want it because I know how much the light want to give it. So you're connecting to the light. You're not connected to you. You can receive as much as you want. It's such a beautiful concept, guys. This is change everything. Change everything about our life. And you continue. אבל לא קרל משום איזה אביות שרגיש בנקודה האמצעית, כי לא היו שם אביות ושום שינו חד ושלום. Many people say Rav Ashlag, thinking that the צמצום, the contraction, the צמצום, the restriction, if you want to call it, happened because it was a difference between the vessel and the light. God forbid if you think this way, say Rav Ashlag. God forbid. Because remember we said there is, in the endless, there is a difference. One called light, one called vessel. If you remember the lecture I said, he and his name are one. If you remember the paradox. So when I teach he and his name are one, and I said they are one, because why they are one? If you think they are two, he said, Chas v'shalom, God forbid you should even think like that. But they are different. They are one, but they are different. ולפיכך לא נסתה נקודה אמצעית לבחינת סוף. The middle point in the endless, which was the original vessel, was never an end. E-N-D, it was never an end. מחמת הצמצום. לפיכך לא ייתכן בלי להבחין עניין קטון וגדל, שבר של הצמצום היה בהשוואה הגבורה. And that's why the tzimtzum, the contraction, happened equally everywhere. So think about your life, guys. What are you doing? Are you connected to the purpose of what you're doing here every day? If you don't, it's time to change. Time to change. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. Don't live your life by some rules of somebody come up with the rules tomorrow, writing a new book. Ah, let me write a new book. The meaning of life. There's no meaning to life. This is it. This two line, that's the entire meaning of life. Somebody come reinventing the wheel. Don't waste your time. Really, I'm giving you the biggest advice. This is it. This is little square, light, vessel, the beginning and end of everything. Everything else is just after that, you know? This is it. That's the entire existence. You're feeling like you want something. Let's say you're single and you want to get married. It's because the light want to give you a marriage. See, the light sent it to you. You said, but I didn't want it. Right? It's a good one. Why sometimes we end up with things we don't want? It's amazing, just amazing. You know, we keep going on this subject, it's endless. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ran to a cave with his son. No food, no nothing. The cave was big, it was the size of this room. Now when you go there, I don't know if you've been, because it was earthquake, you can only see like a little hole. But it was an old room like that. And they used to bury their body in the dirt in the daytime. And at night they're wearing the clothes. So the clothes would not wear off. It's kind of weird. I mean, if I'm thinking about it, even telling you the story, I said, what? They lived there 13 years, the clothes wearing off. That's what they worry about. And then a carob tree came and feed them, and water appeared. They were able to cancel themselves 100%. What we call tzimtzum. 100%, we want nothing. But then they said, but the light, I know how much you want to give us. Let's receive something. The work on getting to want nothing, that's the goal. If you want to know how to live your life by, what's the rules, I want nothing. Once you get to I want nothing, then you got to breathe. What do you do when you're breathing? I got to breathe because I got to stay alive so I can do good things. Why do I want to do good things? So people like me? Again, you're going back to the same formula. Or I do good things because maybe I can help people, but nobody needs you to help people if the Creator is around. See, it's just by you thinking like that, you're already doing your job. When you give charity to somebody in the street, food or help or this, why are you giving charity? God can take care of it. You can say, Master of the world, please use me to do this giving. Now you're coming from a different place. I remember 3 years ago, I was in Hebron, in Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I look at them and I start crying. My wife saw me crying. Why are you crying? I said to her, Abraham, he never went to the course with Tony Robbins how to become a leader. He didn't do it, right? So what makes him a leader? He needs to be chosen by the force. Isaac, same thing. His father was a leader. God decided he will be the one who continue. Yeah. Jacob, same. Joseph, same. So why are you crying? I said, you know, within me I have a charisma of a leader, but maybe I'm overly trying it. So if the light choose me. And at that moment, I make a decision. I back off a lot. And that's before I moved to LA. And right after I came back, we moved to Los Angeles. And my change began without even knowing how far it go. What I'm trying to tell you, don't ask for the light how to get what you want. Ask from the light how to direct you on what you're meant to do. Rav Ashlag write, don't sit at home lazy all day long and wait for the light to tell you where you're going. go somewhere, and if the light stops you, it's the wrong place. Because many people can become lazy because of that. It's very important to take it to this point, you know? I mean, the beauty of my life now, the change that I'm doing, the great change that I'm doing, I mean, think about it. I mean, it's unbelievable. We have unbelievable Passover. I bake a matzah with people that are only Hasidic. You know what Hasidic? The one with the shtremel here, like that. Can you imagine? 40 people Hasidic with a shtremel. With my two sons. You know, I'm scared. My two sons, I mean, it's a life change, right? To go in with a shtremel, black coat, and all in Yiddish. Nothing is in Hebrew. Nothing is in English. All Yiddish. You're not allowed to speak Hebrew around them. In 20 minutes, we teach them what exactly going on and what they need to do. How can that change? Because once you go out there and say, Master of the world, help me, direct me, I don't know. I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but help me. And you start meeting people. Start meeting people. And that's the beauty. But did you do it with your life? Did you stop for a second and say, okay, I'm ready to make some change with my life? Or you just, let me try. If you're going to be in the let me try thing, your life going to be like a trying. You ever see how when they try a new product, what's happened? They try a product. 20 years later, they come with the right product. What was the original one that they tried? It's gone. They don't use it. Don't be a product of try. Be a product of decision. Be a product of decision. Even decide to do the wrong thing, it's better than try. You don't try, you go for it. You go, it's called duch in Arabic. All the way straight. All the way straight. It's to train people. It's to do, it's called certainty training. So I said to them, what's written on the restaurant? Say close. So it was late at night. So I say, we're going to run now to the door like it's open. They thought I'm crazy, but the problem happened. The training didn't work at that moment because the store was really open. So I ran to show them how I ran, and then I opened the door, and the door was open. I said, oh my God, this is open? It's supposed to be closed. I want to show them that you should have certain, even it seemed like. And I said, guys, it's supposed to be closed. And the guy said, yeah, I don't know why, but we decided to stay. We have a little fight among us. So we decided to open. We didn't even close it. Do you need food? I said, no, I have my people. I want to train them about certainty. And they look at me, oh my God, how did you do this? No, I'm trying to say, I didn't do that. The guys have some fight. And the idea what I'm trying to tell you, it happened in LA, by the way. It happened here in LA. I can tell you even where. It used to be a different restaurant. It's funny. It's above Ralph. Because it was quiet, nobody was there, so I thought that would be the best place. What I'm trying to tell you, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Don't look for just for the place that, or for the conscience, or for the husband, or for the wife, or for the lover, or for the money that fit just the need at the moment. Because your need in the moment is your need. And once you're thinking about your need, you disconnect yourself from the Creator. But once you put yourself in the hand of the Creator as a master of the world, please, show me the path. And whoever want to talk to me one-on-one, I can tell you a miracle happened to me every day. Every day. Oh, forget every day. Forget every hour, I meant to say. But it's not because I'm good. I want to make sure. Don't look at me like, oh, this. No. It's because I make something that has to do with how Rav Ashlag right to do it. That's it. If it's only happened to good people, then it's the wrong thing. It happened to every, there is a formula, there is a technology, there is what religion, there is spirituality, what we should we call it? Frequency. Maybe that's the right word. There is how things, you dial numbers so I can talk to you because that's your number. So there is how you dial. Once you dial that, it works. But you gotta dial it. You gotta dial it from a place of, okay, master of the world, how do you want to share your light? How do you want to share? Is that the way you want to share? Okay. I always tell that course I did in Miami in Soho House. I tell the women, never stop dating a guy if the first date didn't work well. And they look at me like crazy. Say, why? I say, only if it's dangerous or crazy. But if it's not dangerous and not crazy, don't. cancel the first date to stop. Go for second date. So how many times? Three is the maximum. Give it three chances. Even if you don't like the guy for the first time. For two reasons. Because you have to act with sharing. And then you activate the force of sharing. There is no sharing in dating. Dating today, there is no sharing. It's a disaster what's happening in the dating service. All this dating with each other. Everybody come to the table. Okay, how can I get whatever I want? Nothing for them to give me. I'm canceling that. Where's the light? No light. I do another koach. That's my light. Why you do another koach? So I can get more money and better date. So it's receiving. Why do I scan zor? So I can get what I want. Why do I become spiritual? So I can get what I want. Why do I mikveh? So I can become clean enough so I get what I want from God. It's all day long receiving. Where is the giving? Where was the original creation gone? Gone. The whole idea is giving it. It's not announcing it. It's doing it. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's fun once you get there. Fun not to get what you want. Fun, I'm capable of giving for real. You know, when you get to that point, it's fun. And you're not going to make it all the time. You make 1 from 10. It's not bad. You're not going to make it with the words. The words come out wrong. But one time you make it, good. That's how it works. I'm telling you about me. This, I'm trying. 10 failure, 1 making it. It's like the way I play tennis, right? I play tennis 2 or 3 times a week. And every time I come home, and my kids tired of asking, how was the game? I lost. So they're asking me for the last 2.5 years, how was the game? I lost. So I'm feeling like they're dying to ask me, so why even you going? You're losing every time. I said, I really enjoy the game. I really love this game. I lose, but I really love it. So what? And the idea is sharing. Once you share, you lose. And then, I'm sorry, once you try to make it the right way of sharing, you might make it lose-lose, meaning mistake, but eventually it will come out one time right, and you will be happy for 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, the ego come in, so it's receiving again, and you have to restart again. It's beautiful. So that 5 minutes, you touch the light. It's not bad. You're going on a date, right? You're going on a date today. I tried to sign for how to find a partner in tennis. It's a funny story. I appreciate what happened today. So I was so happy because Yvette tried to help me. She showed me how to do it. Didn't go well. So I went to a different site. You should read. I mean, my English is not that fast like you. Reading. So I didn't read the whole thing. I was so happy I found it. And they asked me my level of tennis, my age, my weight. I was so excited. Then come the next page. So how beautiful are you? Beautiful, huh? Well, you ask me how beautiful I am. So, no, it wasn't for me. Yet. So they give you like super beautiful, seriously, I swear. Super gorgeous. Okay, need to lose some weight. Really not good. I'm telling you, you have to see the 10th thing. And the last one is like you need to do a tavat halom after a person. So I'm looking, I said, why they ask me that? So I'm going down a little bit, and then I'm reading the sign. Smart, you early out. There is a big sign in red, and then it's white. Just read. Those of you who know me, I skip usually the think, okay? I'm an A personality, so everything fast. 1 to 3, 1 to 3, 1 to 3, let's get going. And it was basically tennis for singles. How to find singles. The problem I have now, they keep sending me email. I put my email. And I don't know how to get out of it. Usually, the bottom is say, get me out of this subscription. And I say, it's for free, it's good. I don't tell you the whole details. It's so funny. I start laughing. And I didn't tell my wife. That's why she's laughing. I didn't tell my wife. We both have been busy. And I said, what if your wife read the emails one day? She looked, really? And next to it, that's what makes me also say, is it men who are looking for a woman? Is it men looking? So I said, men looking for a man. In single tennis, I'm looking for a man. So I start getting email from all the men in my age average. Oh my, let me tell you, that system of dating, it's like all me. It's all about me. How can I receive more? I didn't know, like, I'm not in a dating arena, but this is, it's a tough arena. It's a very tough arena because it's all about me, me and myself all day long, nothing else. How can I get what I want in the fastest time? And once you get what you want, what they telling me, they said, maybe the market has something better to offer. So let me check again to the list. The one I have is only, you know, 3.4. What I see online is 4.2. Then they go to Facebook, check what he has to say, what she has to say. Twittering, Instagram, the one with the Snapchat, the yellow, the picture. Compare. I got the whole dating thing, I'm telling you. And I start laughing to myself. I say, nobody's thinking, and may God send me the money I need. If that's my purpose, to create all, I want to create the whole spiritual site for dating and teach people basically how to think. One of my dreams is to have a single event here, you know, men and women, and teach them. And then it will look different because you will draw the right person, not what you don't have. If you're always thinking about what you don't have, you're going to draw what you don't have, but it's not the right person. It's what you don't have person. So I just found what I don't have person. How great it is. I start going out with what I don't have, marry what I don't have, and now I have. Are you in love? No, but I have what I didn't have. That's not it. Do you understand? Because the way that the operation of love is today is based on receiving. Rav Ashlag is teaching us simple, so simple. May God help us to remember that. It's only I want to give. I had two people I teach. True story. Now I can tell you because whatever happened, happened without names. So I was coaching a person from Wall Street, top person in Wall Street, and the other person is a top doctor. And they both super, super believe in my decision. When I say something, they take it very seriously. So I'm driving to Long Island from Manhattan. So the lady called me and said, Liao, you know how much I believe you about dating and this. You asked me to date. This person is good looking, is rich, is educated, is this and this. Perfect guy. But I don't think I can get anything for him to be. She was very honest. What can I get for me from him? I don't need him for the money. I'm smart. I don't. It's okay. She screamed. And she's a tough woman. He's such a gentleman. Like, whew, gentleman. Not words. Very soft. So I said, I want you to ask yourself one question. There is anything you can give that person that he doesn't have? She was quiet. She stopped crying. She woke up. 6 months after, they marry. They have two kids. I want to share this with you that please wake up. Wake up how we live our life. We live our life with the desire to receive for me only. And that's why even if I get it, I will not be happy. But if I live my life with a need to share, everything starts to change. I want to stop here because next week, I want to teach you more deep on that essence. But what I would like to do now is maybe, those of you can stay, we're going to do a motzi. Tonight is the Ilula. Okay, I will say it there. You can. Tonight is the Ilula. Three of them. It's the Ilula of Rabbi Yehuda Tzvi Brandwein. I want to tell you a story that I never thought I would tell ever. Many years ago, when my teacher, the Rav, used to fly to a different country, I used to babysit his kids. And at one point, I found those letters from Ram Brandwein to my teacher, the Rav. And when I started reading those letters, I was so fascinating that I asked, why are we not printing it? Why we never printed? Thank you. And I was so fascinated by that that eventually, I won't say the credit for myself, but sometimes you draw with your desire something to happen. Sometimes. And that whoever I knew as a student eventually paid for the whole print to take a place. And not because I asked, because it just happened. So the letters of Rav Brandwein, you know, to the Rav teach a lot of what spiritual life is all about. And that's why those of you who know my office, my dear friend Michael from New York, create for me a gift that he wrote a certain section from the Zohar that Rav Brandwein to say to read it all the time. So he put it on a cloth, on a scroll, and it's in my office. It's a very powerful section from the Zohar. Yeah. So I would like to share with you. We know that Rav Brandwein died in Passover. And most of his letters on Passover. It is. Yeah. And when you get to know him, you get to know the Rav this way. And this is one of my favorite letters. And within this letter, Rav Brandwein writes that whoever careful not to eat chametz during the Pesach, the Ari say it. He take a section from the Ari, he write, Kol ha-nizar v'mashu chametz, v'vtach lo shelo yechta kol ha-shana. It promised to that person never to do a mistake the whole year. If a person will not eat chametz during 7 days of Pesach, he has nothing to worry about mistake he will do all the year. Sounds like a good deal. He said, but we have to be more exact. He didn't say somebody who didn't eat. He say whoever is careful not to eat. Which means the Ari and Rav Brandwein say, it should say every person should be careful not to eat. It say every person, no, everybody should not eat chametz. Here it say every person who's careful not to eat chametz. You understand the difference? One say careful not to do it. The other one say don't do it. Should say don't do it. And he continued, because not to eat chametz during the Passover, it's impossible. Just by breathing something in the air, there is small particle of flour that can go into your lungs. And then you ate chametz, right? With or yeast or whatever. So you can keep it. So he swallow it, and then it's inside. And that's why he say, be careful. That God is commanding us to be careful. God is not commanding us not to eat chametz. Because if you're careful enough, God is careful enough for you with the year to come. So if you're careful not to eat anything chametz, so the angels that God is flying around you the entire year to make sure you will be protected, not to touch the wrong thing, or not to go to the wrong relationship, or not to go to the wrong investment. And many people that on Passover do a mistake, those days that he write it. And what they do, they don't eat a lot of food in Passover because they're afraid. Because they don't want to eat chametz. Not only that they're not careful, now they don't go to the command. What was the command? Just to be careful. The command was not to eat. So what happened to them? Not only that they are not doing the mitzvah of being careful, okay? They are making shame of what the Creator want to give us on Pesach. Look exactly what we study. And they're canceling the mitzvah v'samachta v'chagecha. They're canceling the precept of God. You should be happy in your holiday. You have to eat a lot on Passover. A lot. But with careful. The main thing about Passover is to be careful. For example, one of the mitzvah that's called tzedakah. Charity. What's the main part of that tzedakah? It's not enough to give tzedakah, said Rav Brandwein. You have to be happy when you give that tzedakah. Most people, he said, that give that tzedakah, either give it sad or either don't give it at all. Simcha. And that's why the gate of the mitzvot by Rabbi Isaac Luria, he tells the page, and it say, whoever do one good thing in his life, they give him long life. And still, people do a lot of mitzvot, and somebody in Miami, I don't know him, but I know he was a student of a rabbi that I used to work with in a rehab. So he was religious, keeping all the mitzvot, and he died. What's the secret that you do the precept, you do the spiritual thing, and it's giving you the reward it's supposed to give you? So it's written, שבעשיית המצווה, that's what Rabbi Isaac Luria said, Rabbi Brandon bringing it, so beautiful. שבעשיית המצווה, when you do the mitzvah, אל יחשוב שהיא עליו כמסע. A person should not think that the mitzvah, that the spiritual thing is doing, is like on his shoulders, you know? A person should not feel like it's heavy, that he has to carry it, that he has to do different thing. וממהר להסירה מעליו. And he try to remove the things. The opposite. He should feel that while he's doing it, he is scoring and he received diamond and gold. And he will be super happy while he's doing it. In happiness, that endless happiness. And that's why most people who go into problem in their life is not because they're not spiritual. It's because they're spiritual, but they don't do it with happiness. So the Rabban were right. The amount of happiness you do a spiritual thing, that's the amount of light you're going to get. You're only getting light for the happiness of you, what you did, not for what you did. Okay, it's very important to remember that. Whatever you study Torah, whatever you give, whatever you help, you have to feel like you are a friend of a master, of a king, and you're doing it with so much excitement. Almost like try to imagine that the person is going to a restaurant and the waiters hate his job. What kind of experience you're going to have? He's still giving you the fish, give you the salad, give you the pizza, give you the steak, but he's miserable, crying while he's giving you everything, he's crying. He's taking my job, I hate my job. How would you feel? Food is perfect. Chef is doing a great job. He hates his job. So you are actually receiving the same amount, but there is no energy to the food. No energy. You're actually suffering. When you're doing spiritual thing, Rav Brandwein say, if there is one message for Rav Brandwein tonight, we want to connect to him. We want to connect to him. Why not to connect to him tonight? He's giving us that gift. So whatever you do from now on, spiritual thing, do it with the amount of happiness. Because if you don't do the spiritual thing, you know, with happiness, it's missing something. We know what left for us is tomorrow is Shabbat of Chol HaMoed, one of the most powerful time. Then Monday morning, we have to wake up like around 4:30, 5 a.m., right? Happiness. Don't say, oh my God, I had to wake up and I had to come and walk. Why are you telling me this? You just lost everything you did. So why are you coming? You have to say, my God, I was able to find out when is it, and to be part of them. So happy to do that. Then you're getting the reward for the happiness you did. You come to pray. You come to read the Torah. You come to do things. You come to study. I'm so happy I came. Not because you get the knowledge. Because God said that when you do spirituality, that's the way you connect. So you come to connect. Whatever you understand it or not, you came to connect. Of course, better if you understand it. I hope everybody understands the letter from Rav Brandwein. And he take it all for Passover. And he wrote it before Passover, the preparation for the Rav, of what to think. Think about it, guys. Are we really working on being spiritual, or are we doing the spiritual work? If the spiritual work is our purpose, that doesn't make us spiritual. To be spiritual is to do everything spiritual with happiness.